Marriage, Barbara, what a subject. I'm glad we're married. I'll just say that right at the beginning of this series. For the public record, I want to tell you, I'm glad we're married.
Are you glad? Well, I felt, Darren, that this may be the most talked about subject in the word, the marriage relationship, relationships in general. But I believe we know little more than maybe they knew thousands of years ago about marriage. And in fact, by the divorce rate nowadays, you think that people would know more, but it seems like they don't know anything when it comes to choosing a mate, to picking a mate, to knowing what God's principles are, and what constitutes a marriage in God's eyes.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, we better pray.
We better.
Let's pray.
All right.
Lord God, we don't understand everything about marriage, and sometimes we don't know if we understand enough, but You've given us some outlines in the Word, and help us today to rightly divide the Word of God in this message. Father God, that as we speak to our friends, and this is also for us. And Lord, I just thank you that we're not teaching an empty concept here, that you're the one that came up with marriage. Marriage was your idea.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And we thank you and we bless this teaching today. And we just know, Father God, in this message that people are going to be liberated and set free. They're going to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God and how you speak into our lives. So thank you, Father God, for being such a wonderful Father. You instituted family. You're a wonderful Father, and we thank you. In your Son's name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, we have to go into these subjects, Darren, of what does God see as a holy marriage? What is and is every marriage ceremony approved or ordained of God? The other night I was in the restroom at the Holiday Inn where we have our classes, and this lady walked in. She says, I really learned something new last week. She said, I thought every marriage was approved of God. It says, what God has joined together, let no man separate or put asunder. And she says, I realized, and it would be ludicrous to think that everyone who stood before a justice of the peace or a priest or a clergyman was ordained of God, because we see a lot of worldly marriages taking place.
Well, unfortunately, when you check at the courthouse, at least here in Colorado, anybody can perform a wedding.
That's right.
And they sign off as having, you know, been a person at the wedding. I mean, that's basic about all
a
they
witness.
Have to sign. A
witness.
That's the word I was looking for. A witness. Hello,
yes.
Witness.
Yes.
But, and that's tragic, because it has been brought down to almost, some people don't take it any more serious than buying a used car.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
sign
right.
here and get your title and go on.
That's right.
Or sign here and get your marriage certificate and go on and do your thing.
That's right.
And, I don't also believe, and I'm going to say this right here at the beginning of this message, that in many cases, I have heard, of course, you know that I was raised in a pastor's home. I know a lot of ministers, heard them talk all the jargon about weddings and so on. But I've been to weddings where at the end of the ceremony, they would say, by the authority invested in me by the
state of
such and such, headquartered in, and they'd list the city or town. I now pronounce this couple husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also say, well, I married Joe and Susie. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't.
No.
If you think about that, pastors don't marry people. Churches don't marry people. God is the only one that can bring people together.
Well, it's too bad that churches and some of these people do marry people.
Right.
And they believe they are husband and wife when God doesn't see them as husband and wife. And
well, I meant that in a true sense. God is the one that
spiritual
calls
sense,
people
yes.
together.
That's right.
And puts their hearts together. And then I believe really the public ceremony is saying, yes, we agree that God did in fact call this couple together and is blending their hearts together. And today we're going to give a public proclamation that that is true.
Mm-hmm. We're going to find out later in this teaching here that a physical union doesn't make a marriage necessarily, and especially when there's a believer and an unbeliever. God does not count that as marriage, a spiritual marriage in his eyes. And we'll read that in 2 Corinthians 6 here in a little while. But what does God see as a marriage, Darren? And we have to go right to the very beginning, and that's Genesis 1:26. And when God saw his creation, he saw that it was good, but it was missing something. And so on the sixth day, God said, to his Son and Holy Spirit, let us, and that is Elohim, and that is a plural noun. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in complete agreement, make mankind in our image. Now, image here is 6754, and that's Tselem. And God made man in such a way to reflect his own personality, some of his own perfections, his knowledge, his righteousness, his holiness. In essence, Darren, this part of image was God's spirit. And he made man first in spirit and then in likeness in the physical structure.
Well, I think it's interesting that you have to understand, I believe, to really understand our authority on the earth, you have to understand that you're made in God's image and likeness, his spiritual image.
That's right.
And in that spiritual image, then we can take authority in the physical world by, first of all, taking authority in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know you're going to be bringing out this matter of agreement, but unless a husband and wife agree spiritually, they really can't dominate their circumstances in the natural.
Absolutely. And that's the pivotal point. That is the number one point. And we had a caller on our voicemail saying, how can you trivialize marriage by saying it's agreement that brings people together? Well, it is agreement. Agreement is everything. Where two agree is touching anything on earth, it shall be done
for
them.
And on the other side, conversely, it's disagreement that tears a marriage apart.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
If there is never that spiritual agreement, Barbara, they're always walking, so to speak, with a stone in their shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got two different characters trying to live together.
That's right.
It won't work.
And we see in John 4:24, Darren, where God is spirit, first of all, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. How can we be a marriage that God has... He loved marriage. You're absolutely right in your prayer at the beginning of this. He loved marriage. He wanted man and wife to be so compatible, so complete. So this happens in the spirit first.
Now, let me stop you right here. You said I was right in my prayer at the beginning. The reason I was, God gave me that prayer.
Praise God.
And you know, in these marriages, we call them Christian marriages, but they're really not Christian marriages unless they're together spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And that agreement comes heart to heart. Then the emotions and the mind and so on, and then you talk it over and get in agreement. But you find people that are never in agreement. They've never come together heart to heart. Perhaps they couldn't because one's a believer and one's an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, I mean, they can talk and go for counseling and therapy and everything else, but it's impossible for them to agree.
That's right.
Because they're of two different kingdoms, of two different natures.
Oh, Darren, if I thought I had to wake up in the morning and live, you know, we sleep for about 8 hours. Some of you sleep for less than 8 hours, 5 or 6. But if I took the rest of the day, 24, 8 hours from 24 is 16 hours of that day, I would be living and associating with a person that was not spiritually in agreement with me. That would be one of the worst things in the world for me to have to handle.
Well, I think that's what brings, you know, and accelerates a disagreement that many times ends in a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that on down in this series on marriage and divorce and remarriage, mm-hmm. which this series is really about.
Mm-hmm.
But so often that the wreck started way, way back there, and many times that marriage had a birth defect from the very beginning.
Well,
and it never got healed.
That's right. They came together physically first. And if we're speaking about God's, in God's image and his likeness, spirit comes first. Man should live spirit, soul, and body. Body should be the third in the line of what we think about and of importance that we have. But instead, we've turned it around even in the church. If you're compatible in the flesh, if you sleep together, and boy, it sure was great, you know, we had great sex, then that is the number one reason for getting married. That's not the number one reason in God's eyes.
What they're saying is that describes marital compatibility.
Yes. Our sexual union, man, that was really great. And so they decide to get married. They live together for a little while. This is the norm today, Darren. It wasn't that way 30, 40 years ago, but today that is the norm.
Well, I'm not sure I totally agree with you, but in many sectors that's the norm, and that's creeping into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to be talking about that. And one of the reasons that many people have tossed out the marriage concept from a scriptural point of view is that they've been around too many wrecks called divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them say that was just too painful. for the people, I observed them going through that, so I'm not going to get married. I'm just That's going right. to live with this person.
That's right.
I believe there would be less and less divorce if the marriages were really biblically structured.
Mm-hmm.
It's heart to heart, spirit to spirit.
Like verse 27 in Genesis 1, it says, God created man in his own image, or in his spirit, in his righteousness and holiness. And in the image and likeness, now the word likeness means the structural similarities and the audible similarities. He gave man voice, and that is second in the line of what God gave man. He created them, male and female, totally compatible, existing in harmony, in agreement. That's how God made man and woman. Then he said, and then he fashioned the woman from man's rib, and he brought her to the man. I think that's so wonderful. He didn't just throw her out there in the Garden of Eden and say, go find him. And so many of us are young people. They're just groping and grasping and saying, I got to go find this mate. No, God will bring your mate to you.
You know, I remember when God brought you to me, and we had known each other before your husband died, your first husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And we really didn't like each other.
That's right.
Because we were both firstborn, very strong. But when he came to me and he said, there's your wife, instantly I loved you. Mm. And that was much like what you just said here. God brought Eve to Adam.
Yes.
God brought Barbara to Darren. And a most unusual time.
That's right.
I mean, and at that point, I believe God was putting our hearts together. Mm. He was bonding us together in the spirit before we even knew what was going on.
That's right. And it happened that way with my first husband, too, Darren. I was taking voice lessons at the college that we went to in Pasadena. I went out of the door, and here was this man sitting that I'd known for 4 years. We even traveled together in a quartet singing. But he had our lives hadn't come together. He was reading a paper, and he said, you know, Barbara, would you like to go see an art exhibit this weekend? And it's like, boom! There he was, God. We had passed each other in the halls and everywhere, but all of a sudden, in spirit, we saw one another. And that's exactly what I saw in you, Darren. In spirit, I saw my husband. And that's what God wants us to see, in spirit first. And then we can go on with verse 24, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father. Now, it's normal that when a husband and wife get married, they want to have a little apartment or a little home, and they do leave physically, but a lot of times, Darren, they don't leave mom and dad emotionally.
Or spiritually.
And they cling to them and cling to them. We need to cleave to that wife like we're glued to her in both spirit, soul, and body.
And I believe the parents ought to promote that.
Oh, I do too.
I think in many cases, certainly it's great when you're close to your children, but when they're your adult children, you need to be severing some things and saying, now, you know, you're married now, and your first allegiance and loyalty is going to come to your mate.
That's right.
And we're going to help you do that.
That's right.
Now, the reason that's a healthy thing to do is one day mom and dad aren't going to be there. Nobody's lived forever, mm-hmm. as far as we know, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So one day mom and dad are going to pass on, and then they're going to have to be strong enough spiritually and emotionally and financially to carry on their lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of this marriage package here.
And it doesn't mean mom and dad have to agree with everything this new couple does, because they certainly won't. And we haven't with our five children. There have been things that we've talked about behind our bedroom door. How could they do that?
Yeah,
but
right.
we've had to bite our tongue when we get in front of them, because they are making their own decisions.
Well, very simply stated, they are our adult children.
Absolutely, yes.
And you know, that's a happy thing when we don't feel responsible for them anymore, mm-hmm. except to pray for them and mm-hmm. encourage them and
yes.
love them and love their children, which happen to be our grandchildren. It's so nice when you can send those grandchildren home, you know. That's one of the privilege of being grandpa and grandma. But I'll tell you, when you understand this matter of God putting people together in agreement, bonding them together, and there shouldn't be anything in there. Because if you go back, I think about, this was a few years ago, but when I had to patch my bicycle tube, and I'd take that tire off and I'd get the tube out, and we'd have to make sure that there wasn't any sand, any contaminants in there, mm-hmm. or the patch wouldn't stick to the tube.
That's right.
Well, it's the same thing here. You can't have anything between husband and wife. I don't care. Can't have mom and dad between there.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an old boyfriend, old girlfriend, old relationship in there. Mm. That needs to be severed and cut off, and just the two, the husband and the wife, the man and the woman coming together, and God's the one that can bond them perfectly.
Oh, I agree with you so much. Now, this word agreement, what does it really mean, agreement? And I looked this up in the Hebrew, and it's number 1520, and it's heis, and it's one in unity. And what you were saying the other day, it's on the same page. You know, they may not be reading it the same way or in the same light. You're a type A personality. I'm a type, I don't have any idea what a melancholy is, probably a C or D. But anyway, you're strong and you're choleric. You're a leader type, where I'm real moody. So my likes and dislikes are different than you. But in the spirit, we are on the same page.
It's good that God brought me into your life to get you organized, wasn't it? It gets you down off the wall.
Yeah, right.
No, so, but that really is true. We read the same material, mm-hmm. the same scriptures. We look at it differently. But God is bringing us together, and as we begin to respect the other as we should, and that really comes out of love. Mm-hmm. Many times we don't agree, but the love is stronger than the possibility of disagreement.
Well, I agree with that. And Webster comes out with such a wonderful definition of agreement. It's to be of one mind, to harmonize and live without contention. We were talking about music the other day and how all these notes make up a beautiful melody. But you have to take all these different kind of notes, putting them into different chord progressions, and then you have that wonderful melody. Well, that's like a marriage.
But you got to get in the same key or you have discord.
Well, that's right? True, yes. But we have all these notes coming together, all these different things coming together to form a beautiful melody.
You know, you mentioned Webster there, and a lot of people don't know this, but he was a wonderful, in-depth Christian.
I think he got some of his definitions from looking into the original Hebrew and Greek of the Bible.
Well, you know, if you have one of the old unabridged Webster's dictionary or a reproduction, uh-huh. you'll find that in many cases he used scripture
yes.
in the definitions.
That's right, he did.
And I tell you, I just salute the man. He was a wordsmith, and we should be in the Word of God.
We should be. We should be looking for the truth at all costs. Well, here in his definition, he's also got the phrase, willing to adapt, conformable. If a husband and wife are in disagreement, they need to each give in on their side in order to come to an agreement in the middle.
But you know, the way you do that is to truly have a love that surpasses the arguments, the differences of opinion, or the difference in approach to a situation. Mm-hmm. And that love should carry you through there.
Yes.
While you're in this disagreement. And I believe that a strong marriage union should say something like this. This thing, whatever it is not worth it to me that I need to hold on so tenaciously to my point of view that I'm going to hurt in some way my marriage. Mm-hmm. Now some people, and the hard-headedness, hard-heartedness is what brings a great conflict into marriages. But I believe, in fact, we've said this, you and I have said this, honey, this means too much to me to have this disagreement go on. I want nothing to harm our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if the love isn't there, then the most important thing may be winning, and that breaks the agreement.
Yes,
or that hurts the possibility of agreement.
That's right. We see in marriage, usually the man is the visionary. Now, sometimes you get it the other way around. The woman is the one who goes out and does the new things. But usually you see the husband as the visionary. And sometimes he goes out there and he risks things. And the wife is a secure conscious person. She loves that security around her. You read that in Proverbs 31. She loves to have a home where there's servants, and she loves to go out. And there's a security there. Well, sometimes the husband will make a decision that the wife doesn't agree with. It takes going off that ledge, you know, taking that step out into the darkness that you don't know about. And the greatest thing I have to watch here is self-control. When you decide that you need to do something new or do something different, I have to watch my mouth, that I don't go off and say, how could you do this? How could you spend our money on this? Didn't you know that this was going to be this way?
So when are you
going
to start doing that?
Well, I Now, you have to admit, I've gotten better. So I have to take Galatians 5:22 and the fruit of Holy Spirit. I have to really apply it to my life. Those times when I feel real insecure and I feel like you are doing something that is going to rip away the security in our marriage.
You know, I believe, though, that that takes that tremendous love and trust. That basic trust has to be there. That even if the decision maker, and in this case, this example you've given is me as head of the house, if I make a decision and it's wrong, would our love be strong enough for you to stand in there, because we're both going to suffer?
And I believe that's where some marriages really tear down. I mean, get destroyed.
But if there's strength in that agreement,
yes.
Even if there's been a big wreck, maybe it's a financial mistake or some other type of error, you might say some wreck, that you're going to hang in there with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it works both ways. Sometimes you've made some decisions. I had to stand there and say, I don't agree with this.
And it seems like my decisions are never as costly, though, as your decisions.
Well, no. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, when it comes to working these things out, you have to have a basic agreement, trust, love down in there. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that can be built by conversation, by
That's
a mental decision. That
That's
has to be a God-given thing.
In the spirit.
And we need to protect that agreement. And if you don't have that in your marriage, you need to get that.
Yes.
Because Satan always comes against agreement. Now, the reason he does, and I believe this is great to bring this out right here at the beginning, is that those that are in disagreement have no power against the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that play out in our marriages and our families? Well, sickness comes out of the kingdom of darkness. That there's no agreement. You can't hold hands and stand by the bedside of your child and pray with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Satan's already got you divided.
That's right.
And a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. I mean, that is a spiritual principle.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe a lot of children's illnesses are due to the strife and division in mom and dad's life.
I'll give you an example. I had an ear, nose, and throat specialist on my board when I first started the ministry. And this man told me, he said, many times I have to put a child in the hospital to get him away from mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Darren, I don't even medicate the kid.
Yes.
I put him in there to get him out of the strife in the household. And he said that always affects ear, nose, and throat problems.
Well, you can see ear infections. These little precious infants are hearing things. Their little ears should not hear.
And
so all
and
of a sudden it turns into an infection. I had a lady tell me, Dana had various infections. And this precious lady came up to me one day and she says, Barbara, there's strife in your life. If Dana's having a lot of ear infections, you need to really look at that.
Was she right?
She was. I went home. I was disgruntled. I was saying, how could this woman know what I'm, you know, what my family's like? But Holy Spirit in the process told me, Barbara, your mouth is causing a lot of this. And so I had to ask God to forgive me for that.
And you know, if we carry this on just a little more, these little children are trying to close their ears to what hurts them.
Yes.
Hurts them emotionally. Maybe
may
even actually hurt their hearing because there's so much yelling and screaming going on. But you know, if we carry this on down, I have seen young mothers particularly who were around crying children for a period of time, and the kid had an earache or ear infection. You know how that is. You can't reason with them. They're just screaming because they have great pain.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen a mother turn her hearing off psychologically and become psychologically deaf.
Yes.
Well, we need to have agreement in prayer here so husbands and wives can pray and take authority, which is part of this dominion package, out of the original image and likeness that God gave us. Take authority over that thing. Pray with confidence, with the blood and the name of Jesus and the Word of God, and see that healing come.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's disagreement, I guarantee you, you will not have that healing miracle you need.
That's right. And in a Christian marriage, that trust in God is so important, because the woman should not trust in man to the point where she makes him her God or her prince in shining armor.
Or the
total source. This has to come from God. And if there's disagreement in what the husband is doing, I believe when the husband goes to Father God and says, Father, I'm giving him to you, and I want you to work it out with him and be quiet and be of a chaste spirit, like it says in 1 Peter 3, I believe more marriages would wind up in harmony and agreement.
Well, I believe, too, that many times a wife is complaining, for example, and then using your You started, okay? But many times the husband is kept from hearing the voice of God clearly because of the chatter in the spirit world, primarily by the wife.
I agree.
She may be
in disagreement. That's her own defense mechanism sometimes, because he is stronger physically than she is. So what does she have to defend herself with? Her mouth.
Okay, but even if her heart is in disagreement. And Satan knows that. I mean, he's smart and cunning. He's been around a long time, has a lot of experience. That's why we need to make real sure we do not leave the door open for disagreement or in disagreement. And sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, well, yeah, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, in other words, I'm not going along with this. I'm not in agreement. They'll say that. I'm not in agreement with what you're doing or what you're about or that decision you made. And I'm sure going to let you know about that. I'll tell you, that will not produce anything but failure in prayer.
And that's why it's so important when you're looking for a mate that you choose one who's compatible. You were even saying the other day, Darren, there are some Christians. Just because this man or woman is a Christian does not mean he's going to make good marriage material.
Right.
And it's because even if they're Christians, one may be against the charismatic approach, another one may be a tongue speaker. And boy, if there's a line of division there, you're going to have some disagreement.
Or it could be as simple as being raised in a very strong household that always voted Democratic.
That's right.
And they go across town and they marry a Republican.
Republican Christian, yeah.
Now the fight begins.
It does.
And, I mean, you know, and some people, if they're really into politics, I've seen that divide people.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may be how you spend your money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
One may
finances.
Be a spender. The other one may be a penny pincher.
And they're both Christians.
And they're both Christians.
But they see life in such a different way.
And then when it comes to tithing, one says, I believe we ought to tithe. The other one says, fat chance.
Yeah.
I'm watching my money.
Well, just like this lady that wrote us the other day. She says, my husband has an evil spirit when it comes to tithing. That's...
you know, not just the men, but a lot of women have that, and it's a stingy spirit. But you know, when we don't tithe, we lose.
Oh, we do lose.
And a couple needs to come, and when they tithe their money, they need to be in agreement.
Yes.
They need to pray over that tithe seed, and they need to plant that in the ministry in agreement, expecting God to come through in what he said in his word.
That's right. It's like Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. That's money. Good return means what you get from your labor. And for if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart.
So husband and wife and who else?
Jesus. Yes.
That's a
Holy
great combination.
Spirit.
You know, he
God.
Needs to be right in the center of a marriage.
He really does.
But he can't be, folks, if we're married to, quote, legally married to an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we plead with people. Make sure that the one that you're about to marry is a believer. And secondly, you need to have some time with them so you know what their ways are. What are their habits? What are their customs?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to affect how you get along with them spiritually.
That's right.
And how you might raise children that will come out of that union.
Yes. In Amos 3:3, it says, do two walk together unless they've made an agreement or appointment? This word appointment, Darren, is number 3259. And if I looked at that verse and read that verse just as it is, I wouldn't know it's marriage. But here we have the actual definition of appointment. It's ya'ad. It's to betroth. It's to give in marriage. It's to meet by agreement, to come together. So this word appointment actually has marriage connotations to it in Amos 3:3.
You know, when we were doing research on this the other night, and I stumbled over that in one of the concordances that we use, I was shocked. I've quoted Amos 3:3 for 20, 30 years.
Me too.
You know,
never
can two
thought
walk
it
together
had...
unless they walk in agreement? Well, now it introduces this concept of appointment. You talk about how important agreement is. Here it is. Can two walk together unless they have an appointment?
That's right. An appointment means marriage.
It means betrothal.
So we know that God sees, you know, what does God constitute as a marriage? Well, here we see that God sees agreement and appointment as primary reasons for marrying
a man and woman coming together. I'm glad I'm married to you, Barbara, and most of the time we agree, right?
That's right, most of the time.